and you are listening to Eco Justice Radio from the KPFK Los Angeles studio. A project of SoCal 350 Climate Action, our show presents environmental and climate stories from a social justice frame, featuring voices not necessarily heard on traditional, mainstream, or even public media outlets. I am your host, Jessica Aldridge, and today I will be speaking with Mark Kenyon, executive director of the nonprofit Northeast Trees. Mark has been associated with Northeast Trees from its very first tree planting over 26 years ago, and volunteered on many tree planting projects as well as working with the founder, Scott Wilson, and the Northeast Trees Board Management Oversight and Strategic Planning. Mark brings to Northeast Trees a keen interest in native plants, habitat restoration, watershed management, and the use of natural spaces to connect with at-risk youth disadvantaged communities. Welcome, listeners. This is EcoJustice Radio. On today's show, we are discussing urban forestry's impact on climate change and social equity. The horrific fires ravaging the Amazon in Brazil and Bolivia have sparked massive interest in how these dense rainforests affect the world by creating microclimates that have macro effects. Large-scale deforestation has an overall effect on global climate change. But what of our trees here at home? Do they have an effect on our local weather? Does their existence play a role in mitigating climate change? In large metropolitan cities, our urban forests may not seem as dense as those in rural communities. But when we speak to expanding urban forests, the conversation tends to weigh heavily on the environmental benefits from carbon capture, heat-reducing effects, stormwater management, and many more benefits, which we will discuss on today's show. There also exists significant social and human health effects. However, tree-related benefits and the movement to build out our tree canopy has not always been equitable in nature. Distribution and proper maintenance of trees, access to park space, and support of community programs are less common in lower-income communities. Today, we will speak to the powerful effect urban forests have on the health and well-being of our communities and the climate in general. We will also look into programs that are working within those communities to provide equitable solutions, green jobs, and open spaces. It is my pleasure to welcome our guest, Mark Kenyon, Executive Director of the nonprofit Northeast Trees. Welcome, Mark, to EcoJustice Radio.
Thank you, Jessica. It's my pleasure to be here.
Mark, tell us about Northeast Trees and the programs that you offer.
Thank you, Jessica. So Northeast Trees is a nonprofit, environmental nonprofit, headquartered in Northeast Los Angeles. We were founded, well, we're a little difficult, 26 years ago, 30 years ago, somewhere in there, depending on when Scott sort of officially decided that we were a going concern. But Scott was a retired LAUSD school teacher with a vision to plant 5 trees a day till the day he died. He had spent his career at the school system teaching young men and women about horticulture. And so when he retired, he wanted to continue both things. He wanted to plant trees and he wanted to be able to impact the lives of young men and women throughout Los Angeles. After about 10 years, he sort of had planted out Northeast LA. So if you go to Northeast LA today, you'll see we have quite a good canopy. But other parts of Los Angeles, South LA in particular, don't have a good canopy. So we see our mission as being planting trees anywhere northeast of Catalina Island. So that's pretty much most of Los Angeles. We are interested in urban forestry. We plant, we hire young men and women from affected communities, so mostly underserved communities in the city of LA and in the county of LA. And we first engage them in tree planting projects, but we also want to bring other green spaces into these communities. So we also design, build parks, and use young men and women from the communities that we're serving to help us do that. And we'd like to, as we can discuss later, trees provide a number of benefits. One of the benefits is our mental health and spiritual benefits. So taking young men and women who all of their lives are spent in a very few small square miles and with, in some cases, very little green nature available, to help them create that nature in their communities and then hopefully take them out of their communities up into So some of our current projects are trying to take young men and women from the urban core of LA up to the Sierra Mountains and up into the Owens Valley.
That's great. And what do you mean by urban forestry? What is that?
So urban forestry is really the practice of forestry, so planting of trees, taking care of trees. Trees provide a number of benefits, as I was just saying. So they clean water, they clean air, they provide shade, they reduce the heat island effect, they reduce mental health, they reduce stress, they provide fairly significant economic benefits to the communities that have them. And so urban forestry is to bring those benefits into the urban environment. Here in Los Angeles, there's a corollary. So Northeast Trees isn't the only urban forestry. We're quite lucky in Los Angeles to have four or five groups similar to ours. And each of us that are in this urban forestry world here in Los Angeles also are engaging the young men and women from the communities that we're serving. So we're trying to find, or we're working with, so now I'll talk about Northeast Trees specifically. So young men and women between the ages of 18 and 24 who don't really want to go on to college, but they don't necessarily have the job skills to enter into the job market, and so they're looking for some leg up or some opportunity to begin that process. And so urban forestry in our minds is not just the physical part of developing green spaces in the urban environment, but also the social enterprise and the social justice enterprise. So trying to go into communities where, for all kinds of reasons, these are sort of somewhat pejorative terms that I'm not, at least personally or at least our organization, isn't perfectly comfortable with. So underserved, at risk, these are terms used for communities and individuals in these communities that haven't had what maybe many or some of your listeners have, which is access to, or take for granted green resources such as the kind that I'm describing.
Yeah, take for granted their access to those resources.
Exactly.
And you had touched upon some of the benefits of trees to our urban environment. Let's dive into that a little bit. For every dollar invested into a tree, how much economic value comes out of that tree?
Well, that's a very good question. So the U.S. Forest Service, we're actually quite lucky here in California up at UC Davis. The U.S. Forest Service has a lab. We also have one here in Los Angeles. And they study these sorts of issues. And from the scientific research that have been published over the last couple of decades, the current number would be $6. So for every dollar one invests, so that's to plant the tree, to trim the tree every 2 to 3 years or every 3 to 5 years, to water the tree, and to eventually remove the tree once it gets to the end of its life cycle. All of that money that you invest to take care of a tree returns about $6 for every dollar you invest.
And does that have to do with the carbon sequestration, the urban heat effect, water retention? What of those elements? Can we dive into those just a little bit?
Sure, exactly. So we actually, in my opinion, we're undervaluing some of those physical things. We don't really... The use of trees for large-scale sort of water cleaning, water capture, large-scale, this is now in the urban environment, large-scale cleaning of the air is really only been happening in the last decade. And so the economic analyses that come to those, they've been done. About $3 of the $6 are in those physical returns, and the other three are in various economic benefits that trees provide.
And how do they help with urban heat effect? What is urban heat effect?
So the urban heat island effect is the process where the sun beats down on a hardscape of some sort. Usually asphalt is the worst. So, darker colors that absorb more solar energy and therefore get hotter. And then at the end of the day or during the day, they re-radiate that heat back out into the environment. And so the local environment in the urban areas within Los Angeles, if you have no trees and you compare yourself to a community that's, say just next door that has trees, there can be up to a 13 degree Fahrenheit difference between those two communities simply because one community has trees and the other does not.
And with stormwater, they also capture gallons, hundreds of thousands of gallons as well on stormwater, whereas in the city of Los Angeles, we had a radio show where we were talking about the lack of stormwater capture here in LA, but they can help with that as well, right?
Yes, correct. So every 100 mature trees can capture up to 250,000 gallons of stormwater. We did a project at Northeast Trees a few years ago, maybe 5 years ago now, where we actually were doing an engineered project at one of the City of Los Angeles's parks. That project was about $4 million to capture about 1 million gallons of stormwater. And at that same year, our urban forestry crews planted 1,500 trees at Kenneth Hahn Regional Park. And those 1,500 trees cost about $400,000 to install. So about a 10 times difference between the two projects. The trees capture four times, so 4 million gallons of stormwater, where the engineered solution is just a million. So it really, trees are an amazing part of the natural systems that we have, and they can really help our lives.
How does climate change directly affect urban forestry, and what does this mean for the health and longevity of our local community, especially those that are in situations where they don't have the same sort of access?
Yeah, there's sort of probably two areas where climate change impacts. So these are complicated systems. So climate change exacerbates and lengthens droughts. The impact here in Los Angeles, we import 85% of our water. So the availability of water as climate change gets worse may not be there, because the snowpack in the Sierra would be left. Would be lessened. The impact of climate change just on the trees that are here today, they're stressed. At the same time, we have pests in our urban forest, and so increased drought, increased climate change, increased pests all sort of feed upon themselves, and so the health of our urban forest is at some risk. And so that's one end of how climate change would impact it. The other side is just on the human side. So we're going to, the environment here in Los Angeles is going to get hotter. If we have an urban forest, that will help to reduce those temperatures. But as climate change, globally increases, more trees will be able to make the local environment have less heat island effect, therefore less temperature. So,
and I want to touch on the pests for a moment, because of the droughts, longer, hotter days, we have this abundance of pests that are getting into the trees, and they're starting to decimate certain types of trees, correct?
Correct, yeah. So we're at a crossroads. In this last drought back in 2016, 2017, the impact of the length of that drought plus the various pests that happen to be just naturally, plus ones that we've imported from other parts of the world, in particular one called Polyphagus shothole borer, they're in every species of tree within the county. And because of the increased temperatures caused by climate change, and then because of the lengthening of the drought, our trees are having a more difficult time being able to live through these periods. And so the city of Los Angeles had a urban forestry management plan study done this last year, and one of the conclusions that came out of that report was that we're at a potential tipping point for a catastrophic loss of our urban forest. And so what that means is, if that were to happen, all of our lives would be impacted locally. We would all be, none of us would then live in communities that were 13 degrees Fahrenheit lower. We would all be, the temperatures everywhere would be hotter. And that's a feedback cycle that will continue. So, it'll change the albedo within the city, which will increase the temperatures. And so it'll just be this potential situation where if we don't, we have time to act now. So if we act now, and this was quite heartening to hear the city council and the mayor in the city of Los Angeles sort of pick this up. So the city recently appointed its first chief forestry officer for the city. And so the city is looking at that. But I think all of us as citizens that live in urban communities that take advantage or take for granted the trees that we have, now's the time to stop taking it for granted in everything that's sort of climate change related. It's, whether it's, recycling or the way we use water and the fact that we happen to have, trees. 90% of our urban canopy is on private property. So this is not a challenge or a problem for our city government alone. It really is something that I think each of us needs to have in our own lives, to look around in our own, square area that we happen to live in, and to plant more trees. That's really what Northeast Trees is doing. So when we go into a community, we work with the community. It's really, we're there to help that community to understand the value of trees and other green spaces, and then to try to help them implement the vision that they want to have for their community.
If you are just tuning in, you are listening to EcoJustice Radio on KPFK Los Angeles. We are here with Mark Kenyon, Executive Director of the nonprofit Northeast Trees, and we are speaking to urban forestry's impacts on climate change and social equity. Mark, Northeast Trees uses a model that teaches people to care for trees. How does that relate back to everyday life?
Well, how does it relate back to everyday life? I think the part of our model is to teach young men and women, you know, again, as I say, we, you know, they can be as young as 14, but could be as old as 30, about how they can take, what's the right word, how they can take the power in their own life so they can take control of their own life and that they don't have to wait for these, you know, for some of these larger problems to be solved outside. So that's where bringing in, you know, at least in the way we do our education, is really to, you know, to provide this information, this knowledge into a community and then allow that community to be able to take that knowledge and use it for them, you know, to their own benefit so that we don't have to be there, you know, next year or whenever it is that we've accomplished the work that we're looking to do.
There's a term that's called green gentrification that refers to when disadvantaged and underserved communities or communities that don't have access as those that are more privileged become displaced as their environment is improved upon. How do we protect those communities and make sure that they can voice their input and that their voice actually has impact?
So this is one of the current items. Just in the last 5 years, gentrification and displacement in communities where we planted trees 20 years ago has in fact been occurring. So it's a great concern to us. I think in terms of how we all can engage on that, first the people that are in these communities need to be driving what's happening in their own communities. So the idea of Northeast Trees or some other organization coming from the outside coming in, that is simply not something that's that many underserved communities really appreciate. They're looking for partners to help them implement their vision. And so I think that's the first part of it. The second part of it is that they have to have a seat at the table. So as the city starts to decide how it wants to plan itself, so we can talk if we have time about the city sidewalk program and the changes that the city sidewalk repair program will have on the urban mm-hmm. canopy within Los Angeles. But however the city chooses to move forward, it really needs to have that in conjunction with the local community members so that they feel a part of the process, so that they understand, you know, the types of greening opportunities that are going to happen in their community and whether or not they really are going to have this, you know, follow-on effect. You know, gentrification is a very complicated issue that from both local at the very grassroots level, you know, like the trees that we're talking about, all the way up to sort of regional economic forces. And so it's something that I think we all have to really keep our eye on and keep talking about.
And you did just mention the sidewalks and tearing up the sidewalks. I have a few questions about planning. You know, a lot of these planning decisions were made 50 years ago, and now some of them are proving to be problematic. How have you seen planning decisions that were made 50 years ago starting to be problematic in expanding that urban forest?
Right. So that's actually a great question, because I think it gets right back to the one we were just talking about gentrification and displacement. So how we plan our city is at the root of helping us to solve many of these problems. So 50 years ago in communities that are still or that are completely underserved, let's take Watts, for example, where we're currently doing a large tree planting project. Watts has certain areas that have parkways that are 1 foot square. You can't even put in a tree in that area. So if you want to plant trees in Watts, part of it is trying to find places where you can plant the trees.
Topping trees is a maintenance process where the top of the tree is chopped off as a means to prune it. Why is this method an equity issue, and how is it environmentally destructive?
Well, so it kills the tree. So it's not a proper pruning practice. No one
eventually,
should,
right?
People, yeah, eventually,
they prune it, and they're like, "Oh, it came back."
Yeah, it just completely should never be done. You're essentially killing the tree. People think they're doing it because it gets a large part of the tree, but in fact, it just causes you to have to, the tree's response is then to grow more growth more quickly. So then you have to be back there trimming it, topping it more often. So If you own trees, you should really spend a little bit of money and get a certified arborist to come out and tell you how to prune your trees properly. Nobody should be pruning trees. As I say, you're essentially killing the tree.
And why is it a social equity issue?
Well, because for example, recently we do a fair amount of tree planting at the Housing Authority sites within the city of Los Angeles, so the HACLA and so-called HACLA sites. And recently they had a company in to help them prune their trees. They're not tree experts, but this company was, and those trees were literally topped. That same company prunes trees up in Beverly Hills, because we work a lot with this company, and they don't do that up in Beverly Hills. And so it's part of it is because, people who live in underserved communities, people can treat them that way, maybe, or they don't understand that there's a difference and it's not the right thing to do, and so they don't know how to complain properly. So certainly part of our job at Northeast Trees is to complain vociferously about that sort of thing when we come across it.
Before we get into the benefits, I just want to speak very quickly on the sidewalks. You have this wonderful urban canopy. The wrong tree was placed near the sidewalk, or maybe the roots were shallow, and now the sidewalk is starting to tear up. So what do you do in these situations, and how do we avoid this in the future?
Well, there's not a good answer to that question right now. And again, this is a place where I think every community can get involved in when they see that these trees are going to be taken out by the city. Right now, it's likely the trees are going to be gone and probably replaced with a much smaller tree, meaning the species of tree will never grow to the tree that was there. Because as you said, in some cases, the inappropriate tree species was picked in the first place. The city is studying the way maybe to save more trees, because we have the potential for losing quite a number of our trees within the city if we just chop them down. And so we're looking at maybe different sidewalk designs. And the city recently promoted a new person to run, the mayor just appointed a new person to run the street services, and I know that's one of his goals, is to try to work with people like Northeast Trees to hopefully solve that problem. But I think it's eyes and ears. You have to be out there, and for those of us that hug trees and we'll picket and chain ourselves to them, you may have to do some of that as well.
I look forward to that. How do we sustain the value of trees, and what solutions do you provide to those people who want to increase the urban canopy and the forests in their community?
If you live in the city of Los Angeles and you are an LEDWP, so Department of Water and Power customer, the city will deliver to your house up to 7 trees for free. If you have a parkway out in front of your house that can accept a tree, then you can call the city and they'll set up to have somebody, and the somebody is somebody like Northeast Trees, so it'll be one of their partners, and we're one of them, to come plant a tree. The mayor just announced as part of with his new chief forester that they're going to be planting 90,000 additional trees over the next few years.
Wow.
So the other thing is just protect the trees that you have. Get them pruned properly. During the heights of droughts, you should always be investing in your trees. Water, from the governor on down, have always been recognized as a place that is a good place to put water. So we use 50% of all of our water is used on landscaping. So you can. That's the first place to look to reduce water usage. But trees are not one of those areas.
There's a thing called the Cal Environmental Screening Score. What is this?
Oh, sorry. Yes, there is. yes, there is that. So this is maybe just more on the social equity side. So the state of California, EPA, or Environmental Protection Agency, has a tool that any of us can go use. It's on the internet. So you go Google the tool called Cal EnviroScreen 3.0. That's the version it's currently at. And you type in your address, and what it'll do is it'll show you for your area, your census tract. It gives you a score that is basically relates to the pollution level, the other maybe economic factors that maybe so underserved or disadvantaged communities may have a higher score. And you can see that here in the urban core of LA, we're mostly red and orange, which means we're living in a highly polluted environment, and we have a lot of people. There are a lot of areas of the city and county that are not well served. So that score will tell you what it's like in your neighborhood, and that's the score is made up of 20 or 30 different subscores, and so you can go actually look at the details of what it is about your community that may be. So it's highly polluted. Well, you should know that, and then trees. Then the solution to that is going to be trees. So plant more trees.
Plant more trees.
Exactly. That was Scott's thing. More trees are better.
More trees are better. Before we wrap, tell our listeners where people can get more information on Northeast Trees, your projects, and how to just become more involved.
we're on all the usual places. So Facebook, we have a website, Instagram, and Twitter. So we'll just search for Northeast Trees on each of those. So our website's www.northeasttrees.org. So that's where you can get stuff about us. If you want to know more about trees in general, you just contact us. Or one of our friends. So the Tree People is another group that we work with, Los Angeles Conservation Corps. Any of them are groups that you can come to, and City Plants with the City of Los Angeles.
And plant more trees.
Yeah, more trees are better.
Well, thank you, Mark. This has been a very enlightening conversation.
Well, thank you for having us. We love your program and everything that you do, and so keep doing more of it.
Thank you. And thank you to Mark Kenyon, Executive Director of Northeast Trees, for being our guest today, and to our listeners for joining us. All the resources mentioned today will be available at SoCal350.org. You have been listening to EcoJustice Radio, recorded at KPFK Los Angeles Studios. A project of SoCal 350, the show can be found on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and at SoCal350.org. Created by Mark and JP Morris, executive producer Jack Eit, engineer Blake Lampkin, interview hosted by myself, Jessica Aldridge, from Adventures in Waste, and original music by Javier Cadre. And until next time, remember, the power is yours.